I'm so glad to be here today. And exactly what I preach, I did. The natural and the supernatural. I did what was necessary in the natural. I contacted we contacted our doctor, Dr. Joel Reese. He's a fine Christian Church of Christ man, one of the lay leaders in his church. And he gave us some things that we did. Then we applied the supernatural, stayed where we were supposed to stay. And I told him that we drove down 71st Street. I said, this is the first time I've been on this street in 14 days. So, no ill effects whatsoever, no bad symptoms, just felt a little tired, a little weak, and still getting our strength back. But praise God. I mean, God is real. If you will believe him and do what you need to do in the natural. So many people throw the natural out. But we live in a natural world, and there's natural things that we have to do. But we live in a supernatural world at the same time. And if you put both of those together, that's where I get my saying, the natural and the supernatural working together make the explosive force for God. You know, so, hey, we're here, we're strong. Praise God. And it's good to see everybody. For you that are our church members that you haven't been able to come and you're not coming, we miss you. I ask the different pastors all the time. I say, have you heard from so-and-so? Because I don't get to see you. But let me encourage you. Listen, the balcony's open, and if you want to come, you can sit way over in the corner, and there's nobody over there. Like over there in that section right now, there's 3-4 people sitting over there. So you can come and distance if you want to. Praise the Lord. I would like to see you all come back. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I actually quote sometimes and quite a bit actually from John Mason. He has some good stuff. I'm going to quote from a couple of his books. In this one book, Impossible is Possible, he quoted this as saying, one day Michelangelo saw a block of marble that an owner said was of no value. He said, it's of value to me. There's an angel imprisoned in it, and I must set it free. You know, I want to talk to you this morning about getting out of the box. Take the lid off. Get out of the box and move into all that God has for you. You know, a lot of times you feel like, hey, I'm just limited. I'm in a box. You know, there's all kinds of things that limit you or put you in a box, as I'm calling it today. You know, there's the box of your own thinking. There's the box of doubt and unbelief that we get in. There's the box of fear. There's a box of hatred and unforgiveness, sin, circumstances, no apparent opportunity. Then there's the box of our own family traditions and ideas. There's the box of our environment and our community. You know, people are in these boxes because these things dictate to us what is possible and what is not possible for us. You stop and think about that. Everything that I just read to you dictates to you what is possible and what is impossible. It tells you this is possible, and it tells you this is impossible. The challenge for all of us is take the lid off and get out of the box and get into the life that God wants us to have. You know, life is too short to think small, believe small, and talk small, and act small. My dad always said, believe big. He always said, believe big. There's Doug Jones back there, and I see him shaking his head because he's heard him say it many times. I've heard him say, too many people are believing too small. The Word of God has more. If they just believe it, they can get it. I heard him say it many times. Do you know that most people can do more than they believe they can? In Conquering an Enemy Called Average by John Mason, he said, when a man puts a limit on what he will do, he puts a limit on what he can do. Then again, from his book, Impossible is Possible, this fellow, Melvin Evans, said, the men who build the future are those who know that greater things are yet to come, and they themselves will help bring them about. The blazing sun of hope illuminates their minds, and they never stop to doubt they don't have time. That's a good statement. You don't have time to doubt. So quit stopping and looking at the circumstances and continue to believe God, no matter what it looks like. You know, never put down dreams and thoughts because somebody said it can't be done. It's impossible. It's been said that great achievers are rarely realistic thinkers by other people's standards. See, don't let anybody else's say what they say or what they think put a limit on what you can have and what you can believe because of what God said. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I mean, that's what you got to get to. Dad, that's his saying, I got it from him. You know, once again, from John Mason, Conquering an Enemy Called Average, consider how many fantastic projects have been miscarried because of small thinking or have been strangled in their birth by a cowardly imagination. We have to develop the capacity to ignore what the enemy is telling us, what other people are saying. What other people are saying, it's impossible, because in Luke 18:27, the things which are possible with are impossible with man are possible with God. Excuse me. You know, Mark 9:23 then says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. You know, this is a statement you need to get a hold of. The only way you can find out how high you can fly is to spread your wings of faith. You know, you ever notice until a bird spreads its wings, it never flies. But when it spreads its wings and gives a downward thrust, up they go, soaring. You will never find how high you can fly with the things of God until you spread your wings of faith. Today we must determine to take the lid off and get out of the box and walk into all of the things that God has for us. What does it mean to take the lid off? Well, people put a lid on when they think too small, when they believe too small, when they live in a small existence, when God said you could have a good, grand life. I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. You can't have an abundant life stuck in the box. Anybody getting a hold of what I'm trying to say this morning? Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's important here, excuse me, that we realize that if we are going to transform the natural, We have to renew the mind. The spirit man on the inside was changed when we were born again. But you have to do something about this outward man, and that's through putting the Word of God, renewing your mind with the Word of God, not with what somebody else said, not with what somebody else thinks, but what God said. Right here, this is what God thinks. This is what God said right here in His Word. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Come on. See, people put a lid on their lives by going through life all weighted down, held back by all kinds of different things that has been in their life, or that they are supposed to have let go but haven't. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here it says, lay aside every weight. See, so many times we are weighted down with junk from our past that doesn't exist anymore because we have been born again. We have become a new person in Christ, but the enemy continues come to your mind and tries to weight you down with all of this. That's why it's important to renew your mind with the Word of God, so when the enemy comes in with, well, I don't think you can get that, man, the way you live, you just be glad God even saved you. You see, you need to kick that out. Get that box out of the way. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Now, when I was running track in high school, and today they still do the same thing. We wear a special kind of a shoe. Back then we ran on old cinder tracks, and we had those track shoes that had those long spikes about an inch long or so. And we had running shorts and our singlet that we wore. Now, I would practice running with my baseball cleats on and sweatpants and a sweatshirt. That's what I would practice. But there's no way that I could run my best. I could run, but I couldn't run my best weighted down with that kind of stuff. When it came time, I would warm up with that. But whenever it came time for the race, I took that off. I took those shoes off and put on those track shoes. They're a whole lot lighter. See, if you're going to run the race, God wants you to run. You got to lay all that junk aside. The enemy going to try to put it on top of you, put you in the box and say, all right, this is all you can do. This is impossible. No, it's not impossible. You can live the life that God told you you could have right here in the Word of God. You know, I was watching football game back a few days ago, I guess, and the guys were slipping, and the announcer said, they've got the wrong cleats on. Their cleats was too short to get a grip running on natural grass, and they had been playing on that artificial grass, which you use a different cleat. They had to change shoes in order to get traction. You've got to have the right equipment if you're going to overcome the devil. How do you overcome? How do you get out of the box? What am I talking about when I say the right equipment? The right equipment is renewing your mind with the Word of God so that when the enemy comes in and says it's impossible, you begin to say, all things are possible with God. It may be impossible with man, but it's possible with God. I believe it, and I can accomplish whatever God said that I can accomplish. Come on. You know, unforgiveness, memories of past failures, guilt, shame, they are weights that we have to not allow to put us in a box. I think one of the biggest boxes that people have is the box of regret. There's not a person sitting here, there's not a person listening to me that does not have some kind of regret. They would like to have changed something. Come on, don't look at me like that. I'm not the only one. You all, how many of you have had regrets? How many of you has the enemy tried to use those regrets against you to keep you from getting all that God has? See, he wants to stuff us down. Hey, there is no regrets. Once you have been born again and become the righteousness of God in Christ, there's no regrets because that's all gone. That's all gone. It doesn't exist anymore. You know, some people really begin to ask the question. I've had it asked, can God or will God really take care of me? I had a person ask me that one time. You know why people ask questions like that? Because they've never got in the Word and read the Word and studied the Word long enough to get that out of their mind. If you get in the Word and begin to read and study the Word, you find out that God can and God will and God has. What do you mean God has? When you read the Word, you see how many people God has taken care of. And if he took care of them, he'll take care of you. God is well able. Not just able. Well able. To bless you and take care of you in every situation that you find yourself in. Ephesians 2:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works where? Works where? The power that works in us. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Oh, I like that. I'll say that again. Above. That we could ask or think. There's nothing that you can ask or think that's above him. It says so right there. There's nothing that you can ask or think that's above him, and he will do exceedingly and abundantly what you will believe. It all comes back to you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Then as my dad used to say, when people say, do you believe it? He said, then act like it. I've heard him say that many, many times. When somebody, he'd come up and say, do you believe it? And they say, well, yes, yeah, brother, I believe it. He said, act like it. I see Doug back there shaking his head and Craig down here because they traveled on the road with him so much. I heard him say it back when I was a kid and he's pastor of church. I mean, you know, 120 people. And the most we have in any of those churches back in that day. And those are big churches. Any back then, in any Pentecostal church that had over 200 were considered a mega church. That's back in the 40s now, okay. Yeah, members, come up. I'll be standing there with him. I'm 5, 6, 7 years old. Brother Hagin, blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, do you believe the word? Oh, yeah, Pastor, I believe the word. He said, then act like it. Some people, you know, Dad was really strong on acting out your faith. He was really strong on that. If you've heard him, you know it. I live with him all those years. From the time I was born till I was 18 and I went off to college. I lived in the house. I watched him live what he preached. And I've done my best to live in front of you what I preach. I'm up here today because I believe and lived what I preached. I said, we said it together, we will, none of these symptoms will get a hold of our body. You got to believe it. You standing there, somebody sitting there looking at me, sort of funny. You really got to believe it. If you're going to say it, then you got to believe it. It can't be half-hearted. It's got to be, this is it. Too many people, they half-heartedly say things. They don't dig their feet in the ground and say, this is it. You ever done tug of war? Team on this side, team on this side. You got to dig down and plant and nothing can move you. You get the biggest guy you got on your team and you put him on the back and put a rope around him and he anchors that thing. And the rest of you are pulling, but he's anchoring it so that they can't pull you. Any of you ever put an anchor down on a boat when there's a strong wind blowing? I have. If you don't get that anchor planted good, the wind will drag that anchor along. But you got to get the thing planted down in there good. Once it's anchored, that's it. You need to do the same thing. Anchor in the Word of God. Dig down strong in the Word. And the Word has to come out of your mouth. Every time the enemy comes against you with something, the Word comes out of your mouth. I've always do it, but the last 14 days I have done it over and over and over and over again. I've always done it. I always do it. But, you know, that's what holds you in the time of storm. God is willing to bless you and take care of you exceedingly above. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. Throw the lid off of man's thoughts and begin to agree with what God said. God said I can, and God said I will. Believe it, accept it, and receive it. You know, Matthew 14:25 gives the story. How that in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They thought it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered and said to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, and the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. You know, other than Jesus, Peter's the only water walker I know of. Peter did what nobody else ever done. He actually walked on the water. Why? Because Jesus told him to. Now here, stop for a minute. He didn't not stop and analyze the situation. He simply responded to what Jesus said. He said, Jesus, you know, he said, if it's you, let me come. I'm going to paraphrase it. Jesus said, okay, come on, Peter. Now, Peter didn't stop, man. He didn't turn around and ask the other disciples, you think I really ought to try to do that? They probably, some of them probably said, I don't know about that, Peter. What? You better think about that. You know, he didn't begin to question whether he could walk on the water or not. He just did what Jesus said to do. See, we need to quit analyzing what the Word of God says and just take the Word of God for what it is and walk in it. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, I think this is what the Bible's saying. That's analyzing. Since when does God need you to analyze what he said? I believe God said what he meant what he said. And he doesn't need somebody to tell us, and doesn't need any of us to tell him what we think that scripture means. The scripture means exactly what it says. That's what the scripture means. It's up to you to believe it. You know, everybody gets on to Peter because he began to sink. But at least he started out. And Jesus told him what his problem was. Here he says, oh, you of little faith. He began to analyze the situation. I'm walking on water. This is impossible. The wind is blowing. The waves are coming. This is impossible. And when he did, he began to sink. And Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. His faith quit operating when he began to look and analyze the situation. Come on now. Isn't that what happened? Huh? He looked at the wind. And he began to realize, I'm not supposed to be doing this. Then fear come in. Anytime you start analyzing, man, the devil will come with fear like a spear. He'll come at you with fear. He'll come at you with all the what ifs. I don't know how many people have said to me during the years of building this campus, what if this, what if that? I said, what about it? Well, what if? I said, there's no what if. God said, do it. I'm doing it. And that's all there is to it. Hello. You know, you see this big campus now. There was that building on the corner and half of the RMA behind it. That's all it was here when we started this. Doug Jones was here. He can tell you that. There used to be a power line that went through over there behind that RMA, and there was a tie wall there. Somebody said, well, and then we got this 50 acres right here. And they said, well, what about this? Well, I said, they know what about. We just going to do it. Well, that power line's in the way. I said, yeah, it is, but it's not going to be long. It's not there. You don't see it there, do you? You got to realize some things in the natural. Begin to talk to the people in charge. Say, hey, look, this is bothering us. This is going to hinder what we want to do. Is there anything we can do about it? Well, yeah, we put it underground. And it did. See, you got to begin to believe what God says and then ask him for the wisdom. He said, if you need wisdom, I'll give it to you in the natural to know what to do. Come on. Say this. When Peter believed what Jesus said, he did it. When I believe what God said and do it, I will receive every blessing that belongs to me. Now, did you say that because I told you to? You really believe it. Come on now. So many times a preacher says something like that, we just in rote say it. But are we really believing it when we say it? Or are we just saying it to be saying it? Oh, come on. You know, with God, you can take the lid off. Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. We can choose to live by the impossibility of man, or we can choose to live by the possibility of God. It's not up to God. It's not up to me. It's not up to your friend, your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your mom or your dad. It's up to you. It's you. So many people want somebody else to do it for them. They want somebody else to pray for them. No, you pray for yourself. I don't know how many times I've heard my dad say, son, learn how to pray for yourself. We can choose to live by what man says is impossible, or we can choose to live by what God says is possible. There are many who try to tell us, well, you can't take the word of God literally. What they're saying is, you can't have what God promised you. They're saying, you can't do what God said you can do. They're saying, you can't have what God says you can have. They want to deny that we can exercise our faith and receive from what God's word tells us we can have. But a person who knows who they are in Christ, but a person that knows what the word of God has to say, can walk in every promise that the word says belongs to them. Did you know people can actually be saved and born again and say things like that and not walk in the liberty that God has for them? He said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. How do we have the more abundant life? By believing exactly what God said in his word and living what the word says, and we'll have the abundant life. The abundant life comes by knowing the word, living the word, saying the word, quoting the word. Let me close this thing. It's time to close. Let me skip some stuff here. I want to give you six things right now that'll help you to live the possibility life. Carry some cards with scriptures on them, or a small Bible with you, or something that you can read in your spare moments about what God says is yours and what you can have. Get rid of all the weights, the memory of the past, everything that tries to hold you in the box. Get rid of it. Develop an attitude of gratefulness toward God at all times, in all situations. Number four, consider what God's power and will do, what God's power will do when deciding if something is impossible. Now let me say it again. Consider what God's power can do when deciding if something is impossible. When you do that, you take the I am off. What happens when you take the I am off? Possible. The I am, impossible. Take the I am off and it's possible. When you start to consider what God's power can do, you remove the I am. Number five, continually confess with your mouth who you are in Christ and what the promises of God say that you can have. If God said it, you can have it. It's up to you to believe it and receive it. Number six, obey God's word instead of what man says, what tradition says, what religion says. Obey what God's word says and not what somebody else is trying to tell you. How many of you have had somebody try to tell you that what God said is not true? Concerning healing, concerning prosperity. Anybody? Yeah. What they're saying, it's impossible, right? What they're saying is impossible. Now it's up to you to make the decision to obey the word of God and take the I am off and say, it's possible. Remember, when God's word takes first place in your life, all things are possible to the person that will believe what God said. I want to encourage you. Kick the lid off. Get out of the box. Take off the restraints and begin to run the race that God wants you to run and enjoy life the way God wants you to enjoy life, because he said that he wanted you to have life and have it more abundantly. How many of you believe that? Then act like it. Stand up and act like it. Come on. Act like you really believe it. Act like you really believe it. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in this room, and I'm not going to because I couldn't if I wanted to, but I said I'm going to give everybody in this room $100 and you walk out the door. I'm going to give you a $100 bill. Would you just say, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. How would you act if I said I'm going to come down there and I'm going to give everybody a $100 bill? Let me tell you something. God just give us more than a $100 bill. God just give us more than $1 million. God has given us an abundant life. Then act like you believe it. Hallelujah. You got anything you want to sing?
I've got victory. It's all over me. I've got victory. I've got victory.
Hallelujah. You've been singing, you got victory. then live like it all the time. Not just when you're in church. Not just when you feel it. Here in church, we all feeling good right now. We feeling victory. You get out there, the enemy gonna hit you up beside the head. Then you got, that's when you got to believe God and say, hey, I got the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, everybody just bow your head just a minute. You know, perhaps there's somebody in this room this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, and they can't get in on what we've been, what we're doing and the rejoicing that we are. Or you know who you know that you once were in that place, but you've drifted away and you need to rededicate your life. Or we believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody on any one of those invitations need Jesus, need to rededicate your life? You want to receive the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hand. Anywhere in the room, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. But I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So lift your hand wherever you're at, upstairs, downstairs, no matter, all, wherever, right now. I'm going to wait just a moment. I'm not going to prolong this. If you want to get in on it, jump. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody raise your hands and thank God because you are born again. And the good things of God belong to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got something out of what I had to say today. But remember, the enemy wants to keep you in the box so that you do not receive all the benefits and blessings that God has for you. Kick the lid off of the box and live the good life that God wants you to live exceedingly and above that you can ask or think. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Remember all the announcements. Remember we need help for Winter Bible Seminar. I believe it's going to be a good one. I've been praying about it these past few days. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I went to sleep last night praying about it. I went to sleep praying and then I woke up and I'm praying in the spirit. So I just prayed in the spirit for a while and finally went back off to sleep. But I was praying about Winter Bible. And I don't know how many people are excited to come because some of them are coming from places where they hadn't even been able to go to church like we get to here. Thank God for our governor. You need to pray for Governor Stitz. He's a great man of God. You might not think he's doing a good job, but I do, and that's my opinion. You can have your opinion. I don't care. But I think he's a good governor. I thank God that we've been able to be able. He said, from the word go, he said church is essential. Hallelujah. We've been talking to some of our pastors in some of the other states, especially those out on the West Coast, that they're really locked down. Thank God. God is a good God. Amen. Hey, if Winter Bible's going to be good, we need help. Thank you. You always help. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Special prayer time. Miss Denise, come believing, come expecting. I want to thank Denise and Craig and the Crusade team. I was getting all kinds of text messages and Facebook messages about how great things were. I don't know whether any of you got to watch any of it. The Live Oak, the last crusade, was streamed. Anybody get to watch any of it? Some of you did. I see the hands there. Praise the Lord. I want to thank all the team and everybody that went. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Hey, wave at somebody on your way out. I'll be glad when we get to the point where I can go to the door and see and actually greet you as you go out the door. connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them back there. We're so glad to have you here. Once again, what do we say to our first-time guests? Welcome home. Come on, join our family. This will be your home. They got a special gift for you they want you to pick up out there. So God bless. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. God bless.